The booming hospice industry is changing what it looks like to die in the U.S. Rather than under the care of doctors and nurses in a hospital, more Americans than not now spend their final days in familiar surroundings being cared for by loved ones. WPLN's Blake Farmer has been reporting on the growth of the hospice industry in Nashville and nationwide as part of a series on the cost of dying. He finds that while families love the help that hospice provides, it often falls short of what they need.
Hospice has been a beautiful experience during a difficult time for many families. Alive Hospice hosts an annual butterfly release. 8-year-old McCoy Fortner of Murfreesboro opens a triangular box. A dormant monarch begins to twitch.
You can also whisper to it to tell the person in heaven what you want to say.
He holds it on his forefinger until the black and orange wings perk up and stretch out. He relays a message to his father, who died 2 years ago of cancer.
Thank you for being my best dad.
The monarch takes flight. McCoy's mom, Alicia, stands behind her son with tears in her eyes. The Fortners could be the poster family of hospice past. Cancer patient calls off endless chemotherapy, dies at a residential hospice facility within 10 days. Alicia Fortner says she just wishes they'd stopped curative treatment sooner.
I didn't realize that hospice could be a longer term thing.
In recent years, the whole healthcare system has aligned to push people into hospice earlier. Hospice has also expanded beyond cancer to basically any terminal illness. And most people now die in their own homes, not a hospice facility. But some of the biggest boosters are starting to see unintended consequences of putting families in charge of the deathbed.
It made me realize how naive I, the doctor of death, was.
Jessica Zitter is an emergency physician in Oakland, California, who became an end-of-life evangelist. She wrote a book about needlessly dying in the hospital on ventilators with very little consideration about quality of life. She started advocating for prioritizing comfort care, which is the central tenet of hospice. When a patient has less than 6 months to live, they can sign up for a service covered by Medicare, meant primarily to help them die in peace. Zitter had already produced one documentary showing the complexity of many hospital deaths, so she decided to make a second film, following a husband who took his wife home on hospice. It did not turn out as planned.
And this is this beautiful love story of these two people, and it starts to be, you hear him say, I didn't sign up for this, you know?
Zitter met with them for months. The husband, Rick, becomes overwhelmed. From managing her morphine doses to getting her to the toilet every few hours, Zitter sits him down at his kitchen table with his granddaughter in his lap. She encourages them to call in reinforcements.
Asking for more support from hospice if you need it is really important. We need a lot of built-in support.
Yeah, but what they offered me was a volunteer for 2 hours one day a week.
That's it?
That's what they offered.
Medicare requires agencies to provide a few baths and a nurse check-in each week, but government data reveals that on average a nurse or aide is only there at the house about half an hour a day. With hospice, the everyday caretaking and even many tasks that would be handled by professionals in a hospital or nursing home are left to the family. Zitter was stunned.
The good death isn't as easy as you might think, so we've got to put some more things in place here to make it more likely that people can achieve that.
She realized Rick was getting all hospice had to provide, and it nearly killed him, too. Dr. Catherine Ornstein studies the last year of life at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York.
As we increasingly see that we want to provide home-based care, we're relying even more on caregivers, and it does take a toll.
Ornstein figures some of the growth in hospice is because it's what Medicare pays for, not because it's the perfect fit. Medicare rarely pays for a nursing home or private caregivers.
You know, our long-term care system in this country is really, you know, using families, unpaid family members. That's our situation.
In the process, hospice has ballooned into a $19 billion industry. It's catapulted from a sector led by nonprofits and volunteers to one dominated by investor-owned companies, including several in Nashville like Amedisys and Compassus, with more growth coming. Because while the industry's business model leans on unpaid family caregivers, hospice has become the most profitable service sector in healthcare. For WPLN News, I'm Blake Farmer.
Blake's reporting continues in our series, The Cost of Dying. Tomorrow, we meet the new face of hospice, a patient with dementia. Her husband learns how much money their hospice agency makes as he drains their retirement fund to hire extra help. Blake's reporting on end-of-life care is part of a fellowship with the Association of Healthcare Journalists and the Commonwealth Fund. Find more stories at WPLN.org/costofdying.